Did you bring your Bible?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ready to use it?
No how.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Open it to us. Sink it in our hearts that we might be able to use it as a weapon, as a sword to defeat the enemy in our lives. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Last time we were together, I spoke on the love of God. I said, we looked at three main scriptures, and basically I said this: God's love is our identity, because we are children of God, right? God's love is our life. In Him we have life. He's taken us from death to life through Christ and given us life. And God's love is our victory. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us, right? Today, God really laid on my heart, God's love is our protection. God's love is a shield. He is a shield and a defender. And I want to show you that from Scripture. Exodus 14. I'm going to start by just laying some foundational teaching about who God is. Exodus 14. God is our shield and defender, our ever-present help in time of need. God's love causes Him to be our protection or defender. Chapter 14 of Exodus, they just come through deliverance. They're running, they're on the run, and there's an army behind them. Pretty scary sight. They've been in Egypt for 400 years, that's all they know. And God shows up and says, I'm getting you out of here. I'm delivering you. Verse 13, Exodus 14. They're crying out to God, oh God, did you bring us out here to die? And Moses says, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Why? The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. The Lord will fight for you. Go to Exodus 15. God parts the seas, the waters stand up and they walk through, and then on the other side, as the Egyptians are chasing them, you know the story, the waters fall on them. They get to the other side and they sing this incredible song in chapter 15, which I need to read. Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and its rider He has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will extol Him. The Lord is a warrior.
Right.
The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army is cast into the sea, and the choicest of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of Thine excellence, Thou dost overthrow those who rise up against Thee.
Amen.
You send forth your burning anger, and it consumes them as chaff. As the blast of your nostrils, the waters were piled up. The flowing waters stood up like a heap. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. Your enemy saying that to you today? I'm going to get you. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You did blow your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. In your loving kindness, you led the people whom you have redeemed. What motivated Him to do this? His great love for His people. Deuteronomy 7, just laying groundwork, people. The Bible is one solid message from beginning to end. God loves His people. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7, well, verse 6, you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. God chose you, people. The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the fewest of all peoples. You didn't do anything to deserve His love. It's not because of you. Verse 8, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousand generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. You getting the message? Verse 13. Deuteronomy 7, verse 13, he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground. And there's a blessing because he loves us, because he rescued us, because he delivered us. Now go to Psalm 18. I'm reading these scriptures so you can highlight them and get them in your spirit. This is the foundational teaching that I believe God wants us to know for such a time as this. Psalm 18, Psalm written by David. David loved the Lord. The Lord loved David. When did he write this? When the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, from the hand of Saul, he said, this is what he said, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. Psalm 18. My shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Maybe that's why it's not lining up with yours. But the cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. The earth shook. This is really cool. Okay, I want you to get this picture. God hears the cries of his people, and he moves. He responds. Okay? He hears when we cry. And this is a picture. There's no other way to picture God and how he responds. And David uses practical, everyday terms to demonstrate that God moves when he hears the cries. The earth shook and quaked. The foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. God came down with thick darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He sped upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him, darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him passed his thick clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into the broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Okay? Amazing truth. Let me read the last verses of this psalm, 18, verse 46. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. And exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me and subdues people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely thou dost lift me up above those who rise against me. Thou dost rescue me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks to thee among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to thy name. He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Deliverance, loving kindness. God loves us, and he responds to our cries. There are many, many passages I could take you to. Here's the message, before you forget. It's a picture of a God who is crazy about his kids and will stop at nothing to free them from the enemies that are trying to entrap them. Okay? If you get nothing out of this, get that, because that will be the rock you stand on. Let's start in 2 Chronicles 20, story of Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's okay. This is an amazing story. I've laid all that groundwork because that is what is in Jehoshaphat's heart. He is weaned on the scriptures. He knows the scriptures. He knows the Psalms of David. He knows the story of the Exodus. And he is confronted with a very serious challenge. The enemy is on his doorstep. Okay, he's leading the tribe of Judah. And it says in verse 1, 2 Chronicles 20, came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Munites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. It was a huge army, three different people groups coming together to attack the people of God. I'm just going to read it, and I'm just going to preach from the text, so follow along. Verse 2, then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Here's the news. There's an enemy, and he's out to get you. He's a big enemy. It's a great multitude. It's bigger than anything you can face. Even though we're told in the previous chapters that there's like 1.2 million soldiers in Judah. This army's bigger than that. Okay, that's how big and powerful this army is. And he's afraid. And he's not afraid of much. He just finished going to battle with King Ahab, which he shouldn't have done. But he is a warrior. Warriors get afraid. You know that? They do. Believe it or not. That's why they suffer from PTSD. Right? There's a real fear when you face an enemy. It's natural. But we're not natural. We're supernatural. Amen? Jehoshaphat was afraid, verse 3. Watch this. He turned his attention to seek the Lord. He was a man of God. Jehoshaphat came in after his father Asa. His father Asa had brought in reforms. He was a good king in Judah. Jehoshaphat came in after Asa died, his dad died, and he came in and he continued to tear down the idols and reinstitute priests and prophets and the word of the Lord. Okay, he was a man of God, but even the man of God got afraid. And immediately, this is for us, he turned his attention to seek the Lord. Now, you might skip over that, but in my translation, three times, he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Here's the response. There's a big, huge enemy, and I can't take him down. And my only option is to go to you, God. Right. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And I'm proclaiming a fast through Judah. Verse 4. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord, the whole nation. And they even came from all the cities of Judah to what? To seek the Lord. Three times. And then three times in two verses, the same thing's repeated. You take notice. Jehoshaphat, verse 5, stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And here's his prayer. I want you to look at his prayer because this is a good way to pray. And you know, as Jim was reading, I was thinking, this is exactly what Jesus taught us to pray. First thing you do is you start with God. Hallowed be your name. And you start with who he is. And you remind yourself of who he is and all that he's done. O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in the heavens? Mm-hmm. Art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in thy hand so that no one can stand against thee. Okay. Do you have that view of God?
Amen. Yes.
That's where it starts. Is your God big enough to fight your enemies? Yeah, there is no other God, people. He's it. He's the only one. Did you not, O God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? Remind yourself who God is. If you want to write stuff down, here it is. Remind yourself who God is, how big he is, what he's done in the past. That's number two. Remind yourself what he's done in the past. Who he is, what he's done in the past. They lived in it and have built thee a sanctuary there for your name. Remind yourself that God dwells with you.
Right.
He's right here with you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, right? Friends, you got to stand on those scriptures. God has taken you, has rescued you, has set you apart. You are a worshiper of his, and he's inside of you. Should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, verse 9, we will stand before this house and before thee, for thy name is in this house, and cry to thee in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. There's the confidence. If I just cry to the Lord and remind him of what he's done in the past, he will come through, because that's who he is. Verse 10, and now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou didst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. Interesting little, if you go to Numbers 20, you can read about that, where as the Israelites are coming out of Egypt and they're advancing into Canaan trying to take the land, they come to these people group, Ammon, Moab, and Edom, or Mount Seir, they say here. Three people groups, and they just want to pass through. And they say, no, you're not coming through our land. And God doesn't get mad. He just kind of, they have to go around. But their day's coming. This is their day. Verse 11, behold how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from thy possession, which thou hast given us an inheritance. Verse 12, our God, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. Friends, this is a cry of desperation. We are absolutely powerless. We have no idea what to do. And there's only one place we can go. And we are lifting our eyes to you because you're the deliverer. Okay, friends, your solution is not in the world. It's not in a textbook. It's not in even a neighbor or a close friend. Your only solution is found in God. And really, let me just say this. All the time, your solution is found in God.
Right.
Yeah. Verse 13, this is a beautiful picture. All Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. God hears the cries of his people. God hears the cries of his people. The Bible says God tunes his ear into the cries of his people. He looks down from heaven and he sees families, young kids, wives and children, and all these people he's redeemed. He's seen Judah. This is the special tribe. These are the special people who have not turned their back on him, who have not worshipped other gods. Okay, these are his chosen people. And he sees the little ones and he's moved with compassion. And this holy compassion rises up in him. And suddenly, the Spirit of the Lord speaks. You know you have your answer when the Spirit of God speaks. In the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mathaniah, the Levite, the sons of Asaph. And he said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Okay? You probably need to say that again. Yeah. The battle is yours, Lord, not mine. Okay? The battle is his. Friends, I think a lot of times we experience difficulty and troubles because we take on the battle ourselves. We fight things that we can't fight, that only God can fight. And we end up in trouble and we end up discouraged. If there is an enemy out there, and I'm speaking from experience, and you learn the hard way, when you see that enemy, you have two options. You cry out to God or you say, I'm going to get you. And then you go against the enemy in the flesh and you fail. From experience, it's better for God to fight.
Amen.
Okay? He actually wants to fight.
Yeah.
If we go in the flesh, the only thing that we will experience is fear. Okay? Do not fear or be dismayed. Keep your eyes. This is beautiful. They turn their eyes, it says, right? They seek the Lord. They turned, verse 3, he turned his attention to seek the Lord. When we face a trial, this should be our response. We immediately we turn our attention to the Lord because we want to know what the Lord is going to do in this situation. The battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, as soon as they get to that place and they hear, this is God. God's going to fight. God's going to give a strategy. Okay, the battle's not yours, it's mine. Here's the plan. We got to listen for the plan, people. Okay? Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Wouldn't you love to hear that? Mm-hmm. Well, you're hearing it. If God's going to fight, you need to keep your hands off. You need not fight. Station yourself, stand and see. I just want you to stand back, and I want you to see what I'm going to do. See the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed again. Tomorrow, go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. 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 Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you, when you face anything in life that is too big for you to handle, is your first word, the Lord is with me? What does Paul say in Ephesians 6? Stand firm in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be lots of battles. We don't fight battles with carnal means, he says in 2 Corinthians 10. We don't fight in the flesh, but with weapons, powerful weapons that are able to tear down strongholds. He's talking spiritual. There's a spiritual enemy who's out to get us and out to trip us up and even sometimes to suck us in a battle that we end up fighting in the flesh. But that's not what God wants. He wants to fight our battles. Stand firm in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay? By the Spirit of God, God will give you strategy. God will even fight for you. He will go and he will do what he needs to do so that you win the battle. Friends, it's like falling on deaf ears right now. I just feel that. Because it's so foreign to us. We've gotten so used to trying to pick up, do something to get ourselves out of the mess we're in. Right? Am I lying here? Because listen, I'm speaking to myself too. What's our first default often? I can fix this. I'll look after this. So even when we go to prayer, we say, God, what should I do in this situation? Well, here, Mike, I don't want you to do anything. I want you to just chill, and I'll handle the situation. What? I'm not going to do anything? Well, that's not normal. Yeah, you're not normal, Mike. You're supernatural, because I'm inside you. Okay? And this is a mentality, I think, in this day and age, we need to get in our spirit, that God is in us, and that changes everything. Okay? God is with us. And that's what he says. Don't fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out and face him, for the Lord is with you. That's all you need to know. Now watch this. What's the response? All right, God, let's go get him. That's not the response. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah, all these kids and all these wives and all these families, what we just read about, they fall to the ground before the Lord and they worship the Lord. Literally, they bow down and prostrate themselves before the Lord. It's a beautiful picture. And that, friends, you think about that position. You got an enemy charging you. Like if you're like me, you're going to find something to go and get these enemies. No, that's not the posture God wants us to take. Get on your face, humble yourself before me. You take that position of submission. Not my battle, God. You're going to fight. I'm just going to lay here or kneel here, and I'm going to praise you. Okay, this is a phenomenal passage. They just fall before the Lord, and they worship the Lord. Verse 19, the Levites from the sons of Kohathites and all the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. So the singers come in, and they start praising God. So now we're worshiping and we're praising. You know, they're two different things. Worship and praise are two different things. Okay? One is giving reverence to God and acknowledging that he is the king and he's in charge and he can do this. And our response is, God, you're so amazing. You're so awesome. We love you. You're the only God. Actually, let me take you to Psalm 46 real quick, because they wrote this psalm. And there's a lot of truth in this psalm. The sons of Korah wrote this. I think you know this song. Martin Luther made it famous. A psalm of the sons of Korah. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake and its swelling pride, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. And immediately, I mean, these are the same guys who lead the worship in this particular situation, and they wrote that psalm. Yeah. And they're encouraging all the people of God through all generations. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes on God. He's your refuge and strength. He's your ever-present help in time of need. Where did they learn that? They learned that right here. They rose early in the morning, went out to the wilderness of Tekoa, and when they went out, Jehoshaphat, verse 20, stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah inhabitants," 2 Chronicles 20, "put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established," carried, supported, upheld, put your trust in his prophets and succeed. Okay? That's what a leader does. God's going to do this. Keep your eyes on God. Praise him, worship him. When he had consulted with the people, verse 21, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, here it is, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Rooted in the love of God. His certainty, his security, his foundation is the love of God. Friends, this word, loving kindness, hesed, is a very powerful word in the Hebrew. It's a covenantal God love that God covenants with his people and promises them to protection and to protect them. And the only way to really describe this love is to use two words, because that's what the word means. It's a love that is kind. It's generous. It acts. It's not a love that sits back and says, "Well, you handle it. You know, I love you, but you're on your own for this." No, it's a love that motivates you to go and rescue your people. I was thinking this week, I actually prompted this sermon. You know, my dad was he's a good man, and he was a good father. And he, I remember when I was like 10 years old, and we were coming back, I think from my grandparents' house, and we pulled in the driveway and it's dark, and we got to our house, same street that Lynn lives on, by the way. And my mom will probably remember this, tell the story better, but all I remember, sitting in the back seat with my brother, Dad flings open the door and runs in the house. That's what I see. Okay. I'm like, "What is going on?" We had to stay in the car. And then he came out and got us. There was someone in our house when we pulled in the driveway.
Oh, gosh.
And my dad, being the dad he is, protector of the family, just, "I'm going after this guy. How dare you get in my house?" And you know, this, I'm sure a lot of men feel like that, right? "My kids, my wife, my home, what are you doing here?" And whew, there's this protection. And listen, I believe, and I, you know, it's scriptural, people are made in the image of God.
Right.
And I believe he's put that in men to be protectors of their home and their wife and their kids.
Right.
And so in him, whether he knows the Lord or not, that's, he's wired like that, because he's made in the image of God, and God is a protector of his people. And so my dad just gets up and, whew, and chases this guy. And he was in the basement, the robber, and runs upstairs and dives through my bedroom window. Wow, my dad's got the build I got, and he's not diving through windows, especially when it's like, you know, 12 feet up in the air. And so he dives through the window and runs and jumps over a hedge, and there's like a 20-foot drop, and this guy was so scared, he just runs. But my dad was fearless. And I remember, like, many times, you know, my dad, you see my brother, and my brother's, you know, having trouble swimming or something, he's going down, and my dad, whoa, it's like this instinct, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much more is God for his kids? And we see it here. It's this covenantal love, this, "I love you so much, I've given so much, I've rescued you, you're mine, I chose you, you're my kids." That's the love, this loving kindness, the love that has to act, this love that has to respond, to do something, to free and release his children, deliver. Over and over again, he's a deliverer. That's who God is. That's in his nature. He just can't do anything but deliver his kids because he loves them that much. So watch, when they begin singing and praising the Lord, set ambushes against the... when they begin singing and praising... the Lord set ambushes against the sun. The Lord did it. I don't know how he did it. Some people say he actually sent angels. Okay?
That's the best thing. Like, pardon? They're fighting each other and then...
Yeah, and so he turns, it's not the first time he does this, against the sons of Ammon and who had come against Judah, so they were routed. The sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. So you got two groups, they fight the third group, destroying them completely. When they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another.
Yeah, that's crazy.
This is supernatural.
Yes.
Right.
This is something you can't do.
That's right.
It takes, oftentimes, some of these big things we're going through, it takes the supernatural hand of God. Yeah. Only God can do it. And why does he do it? Because he loves us. And what ushers in this deliverance is praise and worship. I wrote here, praise releases victory. Praise releases deliverance. Friends, there's a big difference between fear and faith. Okay? We have the Spirit of God. What does 2 Timothy 1:7 say? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Okay? Why do we have that? Because he doesn't want us to fear. He wants us to walk in power, love, and a sound mind. So, where's our power? It's not in us. Mm-hmm. It's because he's in us.
That's right.
Right? So God is able to take the enemy and turn the enemy on themselves. And the enemy is defeated. And I like these words. It was like total. You know, I have a word, completely. Destroying them completely. Destroyed one another. This is not, well, you know, he inflicted a few and they're going to come back next year and do the same thing. No, he took care of business.
Yeah.
Because he's my dad. Okay? That's who he is. He's God Almighty who takes care of business and does what needs to be done so that I'm protected. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
Is this making sense?
Yeah.
It's a huge victory. It's a huge victory. So much so that it took them 3 days, it says in verse 25, to collect all the stuff that they left behind. Now, you're going to have a hard time, some of you, with this teaching because in order for God to rescue you, he often has to get rid of people.
Yeah.
Maybe not physically, but sometimes physically. Right?
Yeah.
Now, he'll get rid of someone so that his kids are not harmed. So do we see this in Scripture? Yeah, you see it all the time. I mean, the psalmists have no problem writing about God destroyed these people to save us. Did God get rid of Ananias and Sapphira? Yeah, he did. Because he's so zealous for the purity of his church, he doesn't want them contaminated. You can have a little yeast in the batch, get rid of it. Okay? That's who God is. That's your God. It's not that he's a cruel, wrathful, vengeful God. No, it's love that motivates him to stand up and do something, okay? This is a loving God. Just like anyone, any father here, probably lots of mothers in this room too. If your kids are threatened, guess what? Mama Bear comes out. Right? You're made in the image of God. You have no problem ripping the head off of someone who's harming your kids.
Amen.
Okay? Go, girl.
Yep.
This we shouldn't be ashamed of this. This is God in us.
Yep.
I know that's pretty hard. Oh my God. I want to get rid of the Old Testament. It's so graphic. No, this is the story of
it's
our
history.
God. Read the end of the book. He has to do this to bring his children home. Because the world is going to get so ugly against his children, that he's going to have to step in and just clean house.
Yeah.
Say, all right, it's over. Come with me. We're going home.
Yeah.
Right? This is our God. I want us to get a picture that this is our God. And this he does because he loves us. Okay, it's a part of God's love that we often don't talk about. But when the psalmists pray in precatory psalms, you know, like, oh God, please get rid of my enemies, like pastor, he's able to do it. It's not pretty, but he's able to do anything because he's covenanted his love to us. Okay, he's got us one. We're one in him. He's given his very best. Now, listen, I could go on here and like they call it the Valley of Blessing. They just, when you allow God to go before you and defeat your enemy, and you're praising and worshiping and just allowing God to be God, there's a blessing. That's what this tells me. Okay, at the end. And they return to Jerusalem, verse 27, with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. How did this chapter start? With fear. Okay? It ends in joy. Why does it end in joy? Because God stepped in and they stepped back and said, we'll worship you. You go. God, you do what you got to do. And they received the blessing and they received the joy. And watch this, verse 29, the exact same thing that happens with Ananias and Sapphira. The dread of God went against all the kingdoms of the lands when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. The fear of the Lord is the fruit of God going out and rescuing his people. Exactly what happened in the church in Acts chapter 5 when Ananias and Sapphira met a holy God for lying to the Holy Spirit. The fear of the Lord seized that whole congregation. Okay? Friends, the fear of the Lord needs to hit the church.
Yes,
the fear of the Lord needs to hit this planet. Okay?
Yes.
Because what we are saying about God and what the church is saying about God, it's time for God to step in and demonstrate he's God. And I'm praying for that. God, just be God. Just come and show who you really are. But I want you to be encouraged because our God is for us. And if he is for us, nothing can be against us. Amen?
Yes.
That's what God's word says. Now, 2 Chronicles 20, there are three enemies listed at the very beginning. Moab, Ammon, the Munites, or the Edomites. I wrote this. It says they were powerless, helpless. We are helpless, verse 12. Powerless. Friends, is there a situation when we were powerless and helpless?
Yep.
Yes. Yep. We were lost in our sin. We were absolutely held by the enemy. We were part of the kingdom of darkness. We were bound by sin, and the consequences of our sin was certain death. We were dead in our sin. That's what the Bible says. So we had three enemies: sin, death, and the devil. Could we defeat them on our own? Absolutely not. It took one person to come, one move of God. That God's name was Jesus. Okay? In one act, just like here, in one act, he defeated the three enemies, sin, death, and the devil. Where did he do that? On the cross. Amen? Jesus is our God, who helps us in our time of need. When we are helpless, he's the one who wins the victory. We are more than conquerors in Christ, okay? There's so many, I could take you to dozens of scriptures where he defeated sin, he defeated death, and he defeated the devil.
Yes.
See, 1 John 3:8 says he came to destroy the works of the devil. Some of us in this room spend more time fighting the devil than living for Christ. Lay that down, friends. Let Jesus fight. Actually, here's a thought. Walk in the victory that's already yours. Like, it's like, well, God, you know, I saw you, what, you know, 2,000 years ago, you won that victory. Yeah, it was dramatic. Wow, it's really dramatic. But, you know, I'm going to handle this devil myself. No, he's already defeated. Like Jesus says, Mike, why are you fighting the devil? I kicked his butt 2,000 years ago. So, friends, I believe this story is everything in the Old Testament points us to Christ. The schoolmaster leads us to Christ. Okay? This message says clearly, when we can't fight, which we can't, nowadays it's getting worse and worse, we can't fight. We need to let God fight. Whatever you're going through, listen, it's not just, there's spiritual battles, but there's some real battles. You know, a lot of people don't think spiritually, but there are roadblocks that Satan throws in our path that keep us and get us discouraged, keep us from getting to where God wants us to. You know, it might be financial, might be relational. You know, the devil works in people. Sometimes those people just won't give up until God takes care of them. Right? If we try to take care of them, we're not getting anywhere. We just keep hitting like a brick wall. But God wants us to say, God, fight for me. I'm just going to sit back here and praise you. Right. When physical, listen, you read my devotional. I got to a place, even before I was preparing this, I can't fight my physical illness. I can't do anything. I mean, the doctors are fighting nothing. I'm just saying, God, you fight this.
Yes.
You know me. You created me. You're going to do it. I'm not fighting. I'm just going to praise you. And that's all I do all day long. Just I'm walking and it's hurting and praise God. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Yeah? That's it. That's all you can do. Because he already purchased it, as Kim said.
Yeah.
It's already bought.
Right.
I just need to receive it. Whatever the enemy's doing, it's the enemy. God will take care of the enemy. I can't fight him. All I can do is stand firm in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Declare the word of God, the spirit, the sword of the spirit. Right? I can wield that when the arrows come flying in. But I need to stand firm in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord, and the power of his might. Okay? Ephesians 6:10. And that's, to me, that's what this is. God has done the work already. We just need to stand in it. And we need to praise. And we need to kick up the praise, friends. We need to kick up the praise. It's easy to get discouraged and look at what's happening in our lives, but honestly, we need to be people of praise and worship. Because worship and praise is powerful.
Yes.
It defeats the enemy. He hates it. You can almost hear him screeching when you start praising God. Okay? And so I want to encourage you. He loves you, and he will fight for you because he loves you. He will show you his loving kindness. It says that. Go to Psalm 18 and just highlight those verses, friends. Just highlight those verses. Cut them out. Put them on wherever you see them. But verse 19, this is one you need to memorize. He brought me forth. Psalm 18, 19. He brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. He was pleased in me. Why? Because he chose me. He's in me. I'm his kid. And then the very end, what does he say? He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed. You're anointed, friends. The anointing of God is in you because the Spirit of God is in you.
Yes.
Okay? You're his. And you just need to build yourself up in your most holy faith. Stop fighting the enemy. Receive the victory that's already yours in Christ. That's the message. Why? Because God loves you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
That's right.
Okay? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords lives inside of me. He's victorious. Without him, there's no victory. But he's victorious. And I think Kim said, we're not in the world anyway.
No.
We're not of the world.
Right.
We're seated in heaven with him. We're already victorious. And we need to remind the enemy that over and over again.
Yeah.
Okay? Anyway. As I was preparing, like when that song we were singing, did you feel it? There's an army rising up. Did you feel what happened?
Yes.
Did you feel the shift?
Yeah.
Friends, sing that Monday to Saturday. Because guess what? You're the army that's rising up. We really need to be the church of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. I think the whole world is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. And say, wow, look at the church of Jesus Christ rising up in the power of Christ. And they're defeating the enemy because their God is fighting for them. Right? God is fighting for me. He's on my side. I will not be moved. I will not be shaken.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Right? This is the song we used to sing. We're in Christ. The victor. The victor. Victorious one. We're in him. And I just encourage you, if it's this good in the Old Testament, how good is it in the New Testament? With Christ living on the inside of us, when the King of Kings already won the total victory.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise God.